Surah At-Tawbah. Tawbah means repentance. This surah is also known as Bara'a, meaning disassociation, freedom, release, or immunity. The words Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim are not revealed at the beginning of this surah. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Bara'atun Minallahi wa Rasulihi ila alladhina ahadtu minal mushrikeen. This is a declaration of disassociation from Allah and His Messenger to those with whom you had made a treaty among the polytheists. And these people had violated that treaty. The Bismillah is not mentioned in the beginning of the surah because the companions did not write it in the complete copy of the Quran, the Mus'haf they collected, following the commander of the faithful, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. The first part of this surah was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he returned from the Battle of Tabuk during the Hajj season, which the Prophet thought about attending, but he remembered that the idolaters polytheists would still attend that Hajj, as was usual in these past years, that they performed tawaf around the house while naked. He disliked to associate with them and sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead Hajj that year and to show people their rituals, commanding him to inform the polytheists that they would not be allowed to participate in Hajj after that season. This was after the conquest of Makkah. After Abu Bakr left, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Ali bin Talib, Abu Talib, to be the one to deliver this news to the polytheists on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for he was his cousin. So this public message of disavowal by Allah and His Messenger, meaning freedom from protection, that Muslims would not protect the polytheists, after the surah was revealed and delivered to them, was delivered by Ali radiallahu anhu to the polytheists in Makkah. Allah says, "This is a disavowal declaration from Allah and His Messenger to those with whom you had made a treaty among the polytheists. So travel freely, O disbelievers, throughout the land during 4 months, but know that you cannot cause failure to Allah and that Allah will disgrace the disbelievers. And it is an announcement from Allah and His Messenger to the people on the day of the greater pilgrimage, meaning Hajj, that Allah is disassociated from the disbelievers. He has nothing to do with them, and Allah will not protect them." Allah says that Allah is disassociated from the disbelievers, and so is His Messenger. So if you repent, that is best for you, meaning repent and accept Islam. But if you turn away, then know that you will not cause failure to Allah, meaning that you cannot escape His punishment. And give tidings to those who disbelieve of a painful punishment. Accepted are those with whom you have made a treaty among the polytheists, and then they have not been deficient toward you in anything or supported anyone against you. So complete for them their treaty until their term has ended. Indeed, Allah loves the righteous who fear Him. In Allah yuhibbul muttaqeen. Fulfill your treaties with the mushrikeen. Fulfill your treaties with your enemies, because Allah loves those who fear Him. And when the sacred months, meaning Muharram, Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah have passed, then kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and capture them, and besiege them, and sit in wait for them at every place of ambush. Meaning that if the polytheists remain around Makkah or in Makkah at that time, then they must be removed. Allah says, "But if they should repent, establish prayer, and give zakah, let them go on their way. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. And if any one of the polytheists seeks your protection, then grant him protection so that he may hear the words of Allah. Then deliver him to his place of safety, meaning out of town. That is because they are a people who do not know." So the polytheists were ordered that they could not perform Hajj after that year, and they could not do tawaf naked after that year. And after 4 months, they had to remove themselves from that area unless they had a peace treaty with the Muslims. And after that, they were to be exiled. So those who wanted to remain polytheists were given a safe passage out of town. This truly exemplifies the ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, La ikraha fi din. There is no compulsion in religion. The polytheists were not compelled to change their religion. But the Haram, Mecca, was to be given back to the Muslims because the believers were the true guardians of the house of Allah. Allah says in ayah number 7, How can there be for the polytheists a treaty in the sight of Allah and with His Messenger, except for those with whom you made a treaty at Al-Masjid Al-Haram? So as long as they are upright toward you, be upright toward them. Indeed, Allah loves the righteous. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah is advising the believers to be on the best of behavior and fulfill treaties. How can there be a treaty while if they gain dominance over you, they do not observe concerning you any pact of kinship or covenant of protection? They satisfy you with their mouths, but their hearts refuse compliance, and most of them are defiantly disobedient. They have exchanged the signs of Allah for a small price and averted people from His way. Indeed, it was evil that they were doing. They do not observe toward a believer any pact of kinship or covenant of protection, and it is they who are the transgressors, meaning that they are ready to kill their own relatives from the believers simply because they accepted Islam. Allah says, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. But if they repent, establish prayer, and give zakah, then they are your brothers in religion, and we detail the verses for a people who know. And if they break their oaths after their treaty and defame your religion, then fight the leaders of disbelief, for indeed there are no oaths sacred to them. Fight them that they might cease. Would you not fight a people who broke their oaths and determined to expel the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had begun to attack upon you the first time? Do you fear them? But Allah has more right that you should fear Him, if you are truly believers. Allah says, أَتَّخْشَوْنَهُمْ. Are you afraid of them? فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ. Allah has more right to fear. Fear Him more than anyone else. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are true believers. A true believer would never be intimidated by a creation of Allah. Allah says, قَاتِلُوهُمْ. Fight them. Allah will punish them by your hands and will disgrace them and give you victory over them and satisfy the breasts, meaning desires, of a believing people and remove the fury in their hearts, meaning the believers' hearts. They were furious at the polytheists because of their constant enmity. Allah says He will give you victory and will satisfy your hearts, and Allah turns in forgiveness to whom He wills, and Allah is knowing and wise. And among the polytheists there were many who were staunch enemies of Islam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them and they became Muslim. Am hasibtum an tutraku walamma ya'lamillahu allazina jahadu minkum وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَا رَسُولِهِ وَلَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيجَ. Allah asks a question. Do you think that you will be left as you are while Allah has not yet made evident those among you who strive for His cause? And do not take other than Allah, His Messenger, and the believers as intimates? And Allah is acquainted with what you do. What is the purpose of all of these ayat? Allah is reminding the believers, do not be soft in your attitude towards your enemies who are your polytheists, even if they were your friends or your close relatives, because they do not feel the same toward you. What is most important? That you take Allah as a wali, that you take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a wali, that you take believers as intimates. This is how we should live our lives, that Allah, His Messenger, and other believers are most important to us, more than any other nation. Nations are differentiated in the eyes of Allah based upon religion, based upon belief. The Quran teaches us to have good relations with everyone. However, your close friends and intimates must be true believers. Allah says, it is not for the polytheists to maintain the mosques of Allah while witnessing against themselves with disbelief. for those their deeds have become worthless, and in the fire they will abide eternally. It was illogical that people who committed shirk, polytheism, would ever guard the Kaaba. Allah says the mosques of Allah are only to be maintained by those who believe in Allah and the Last Day, and establish prayer, and give zakah, and do not fear except Allah, for it is expected that those will be of the rightly guided. Again, Allah mentions this. For Asa, it is probable, hopeful, أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُقْتَدِينَ, that those are the ones who have been guided. So what is guidance? And what is true belief? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is feared. وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Have you made the providing of water for the pilgrim and the maintenance of Al-Masjid Al-Haram equal to the deeds of one who believes in Allah and the Last Day? Allah says they are not equal. In Surah Fatir, Allah says, the blind and the seeing are not equal. The living and the dead are not equal, no matter what kind of good deeds they perform. Even if they were purveyors of the Kaaba, even if they were giving water to the pilgrims, because those are all good deeds. But in Allah's eyes, those deeds are worthless. Why? Because they do not believe in Islam. So again, Allah says, have you made the providing of water for the pilgrim and the maintenance of Al-Masjid Al-Haram equal to the deeds of one who believes in Allah and the Last Day and strives in the cause of Allah, actually works hard to please Allah? Allah says they are not equal in the sight of Allah, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. The ones who have believed, emigrated, and striven in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives are greater in rank in the sight of Allah, and it is those who are the attainers of success. Their Lord gives them good news of mercy from Him and approval and of gardens for them wherein is enduring pleasure. Na'imun muqeem. It will endure. That pleasure will always endure. It will not lessen. It is not temporary, and it will never be taken away. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. They will be abiding therein forever. Indeed, Allah has with Him a great reward. Happiness always, bliss always, tranquility always, and that is true success. And it is only for the believers. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. O you who have believed, do not take your fathers or your brothers as allies if they have preferred disbelief over belief. And whoever does so among you, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. Treat them well, especially parents, but we are not to listen to them when they order us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your relatives, wealth which you have obtained, commerce wherein you fear decline, and dwellings with which you are pleased, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and jihad, meaning striving, in His cause, then wait until Allah executes His command, and Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. Are these things more important to us? What about us? This address is to the believers, remember? Allah is speaking to the Sahaba. Are our parents more important to us than Allah? What is supposed to be the most important? Allah mentions at the end of this ayah, number one, Allah, His Messenger, jihad in His cause, right? Striving to establish Islam in our lives and in the lives of others. Allah says, if you are distracted and intimidated or out of the influence or pressure of your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, they might stop you, your relatives, your wealth which you have obtained, your money, you're busy investing it and spending it, your commerce wherein you fear decline, so you compromise in your religious tenets and principles and disobey Allah and His Messenger because you feel that your business will suffer if you follow Islam, or the dwellings with which you are pleased with, the homes. We take out loans that have interest in them so that we can make beautiful houses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they distract you as well. Allah says, then if those are more important, then no, wait until Allah executes His command and Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen. Who is Allah speaking to? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. In the previous ayah, Allah says, O you who have believed, believers, you and I. Because the polytheists, the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, the people of the book, they're free from all of this anyway. They lay no claim to loving Allah and His Messenger. It is believers who do that. So Allah says you have to prove it. Lip service is not enough. And why would you not do that? Why would you not take those risks? Because Allah says in the next ayah, Allah had already given you victory in many regions and even on the day of Hanan when your great number pleased you. But it did not avail you at all, and the earth was confining for you in spite of its vastness when you turned back fleeing. The Battle of Hunain occurred after the victory of Makkah in the month of Shawwal of the 8th year of Hijrah. After the Prophet, peace be upon him, conquered Makkah and things settled, most of its people embraced Islam and he set them free. News came to him that the tribe of Hawazin were gathering their forces to fight him. 10,000 Muslims participated in the Battle of Hunain. The enemies were lying in ambush and the Muslims were suddenly struck by this ambush. And arrows descended upon them and swords struck them out of nowhere, it seemed. So Allah says, on that day when your great number pleased you, but it did not avail you at all, and the earth was confining for you in spite of its vastness, when you turned back fleeing, they felt afraid and constricted because of the sudden ambush. Yet on the battle of Badr, they were such few in number. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and on the battle of Hunain, you were 10,000 in number, but you were proud of your strength. You thought that because of your numbers, you could win. But remember, Allah has said, victory is only from Allah. Then Allah sent down His tranquility upon His Messenger and upon the believers and sent soldiers, meaning angels whom you did not see, and punished those who disbelieved. And that is a recompense of the disbelievers. Then Allah will accept repentance after that for whom He wills. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah will accept Islam from the enemies, even if the Muslims do not like it, because Allah can forgive whomever He wills. O you who have believed, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, indeed the polytheists are unclean. Innamal mushrikuna najasun. Najas means something that is filthy and impure, something that will cause repulsion when you look at it or you touch it or you see it or smell it. Subhanallah, Allah says, O you who have believed, indeed the polytheists are unclean, so let them not approach Al-Masjid Al-Haram after this year, their final year. And if you fear privation, meaning loss in business or wealth, Allah will enrich you from His bounty if He wills. Indeed, Allah is knowing and wise. Why did Allah say this? Because the economy of Makkah would suffer if so many people migrated from that area. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will recompense. And look at Makkah today. It has never been poor. In fact, that is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all kinds of blessings, because it was the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says, fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day, and who do not consider unlawful what Allah and His Messenger have made unlawful, and who do not adopt the religion of truth from those who were given the scripture. Fight until they give jizya willingly while they are humbled. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba would send out invitations to those of surrounding areas, the other nations, the other tribes in that area, and would invite them toward Islam. This was the act of jihad. If they did not accept Islam, they were told to accept jizya, to accept the rule of the Muslims without fighting, and to give in and give jizya instead, the tax that was for non-Muslims, in return for protection by the Muslim authorities. If they did not submit to that, then there was a declaration of war. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ. And the Jews say, Ezra is the son of Allah, وقالت النصارى المسيح ابن الله, and the Christians say the Messiah is the son of Allah. Now, not all Jews believe that Ezra, who was one of the prophets, was the son of Allah, but the sect of Jews who lived in Medina, in that area, believed that he was the son of Allah. So Allah says, that is their statement from their mouths. They imitate the saying of those who disbelieved before them. May Allah destroy them. How are they deluded? Allah is talking about destroying the Christians because they say that Messiah is a son of Allah. And Allah is talking about the Jews, the destruction of the Jews, because they say Ezra is a son of Allah. Allah says they have taken their scholars and monks as lords besides Allah, and also the Messiah, the son of Mary. How have they taken them as lords besides Allah? We understand that the Christians took Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, as a lord besides Allah, because they said that they claimed that he was the son of Allah. However, what about the scholars and the monks? Adi bin Abi Hatim asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this ayah, and he said, we do not take them as lords besides Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him one question. He said, do you not make halal and haram what they say is halal and haram in opposition to Allah, making up their own religion, following what they say instead of what Allah has said? Subhanallah, look at all the changes in their religion. All of the people of the book were told not to eat the meat of pigs, but the Christians changed that. All the people have always been told that men need to be circumcised, but the Christians changed that. The Jews have also changed their religion. They do not teach the Torah to regular people. It is kept within the temples and only the scholars understand it. And they give fatwas and rulings according to their own wishes and desires. So when you see Judaism, you do not really see the tenets practiced in their lives. But the Torah is simply used for rituals. Allah says they want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah refuses, except to perfect His light, although the disbelievers dislike it. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religion, although they who associate others with Allah dislike it. O you who have believed, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Indeed, many of the scholars and the monks devour the wealth of people unjustly and avert them from the way of Allah. And those who hoard gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah, give them tidings of a painful punishment. These are people, their scholars, their priests who fly about in private jets, who have mansions for homes. This is not the way of believers. Allah says the day when it, meaning their wealth, will be heated in the fire of hell, and seared therewith will be their foreheads, their flanks, and their backs. It will be said, this is what you hoarded for yourselves, so taste what you used to hoard. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like for any single piece of wealth or money or food that was extra to be kept with him, but he would give it away. Umar radiallahu anhu, while he was a khalifa of the Muslims, he wore patched clothes and mended his own clothes. Once one of his little boys was eating a watermelon, and Umar radiallahu anhu asked where he got it from. He got it from the treasury. Subhanallah, he ran after him, took it back from him, and put it back in the treasury. Once his wife made extra food for him, something that was good and a little more expensive. So he asked her, where did you get money to make this food? She said she had saved it up from the money he gave her for household expenditures, because his salary came from the treasury as well. From that month onward, Umar radiallahu anhu reduced his salary. Subhanallah, amazing people. Radiallahu anhum wa radiu an. Allah says, Inna iddata shuhuri indallahi. Indeed, the month, number of months with Allah is 12 lunar months in the register of Allah, from the day He created the heavens and the earth. Of these, four are sacred. So having 12 months in a lunar year It is also the will of Allah. It is the design of Allah. Of these, four are sacred. That is the correct religion, meaning way. So do not wrong yourselves during them. Meaning, do not violate the sacred months or commit aggression therein. In the sacred months, we must be careful of our general behavior as well. We must honor the lives and properties of other people, especially during these months. Yes, definitely throughout the year. But during these months, we must be particular about our behavior. And we must try not to be aggressive against anyone else. Allah says, and fight against the disbelievers collectively, as they fight against you collectively. Meaning, if the Muslims are attacked during these sacred months, then they have a right to defend themselves. And know that Allah is with the righteous who fear Him. Indeed, the postponing of restriction within sacred months is an increase in disbelief by which those who have disbelieved are led further astray. They make it lawful 1 year, meaning that during this time, they made fighting during a sacred month lawful 1 year. Allah says, and unlawful another year, to correspond to the number made unlawful by Allah. So they pick and choose the months, but they keep them four. Subhanallah. Allah says, and does make lawful what Allah has made unlawful. Made pleasing to them is the evil of their deeds, and Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. They think that what they're doing is excellent. Moving months around, moving dates around, following tenets of religion according to convenience. Subhanallah, Muslims have started doing that as well. We follow the lunar calendar for some celebrations and some rituals that are prescribed by Allah. And for others, we do not follow the lunar calendar. We follow a different calendar. Subhanallah, the scientific calendar. Subhanallah. So the calendar, the number of days, the dates actually change within 1 year. This particularly is a problem in non-Muslim countries because people want to really take off from work, from school, for holidays, for Eid al-Fitr holidays or Eid al-Adha holidays. So subhanallah, some of the organizations will follow the lunar calendar for one of the celebrations, and for other celebrations they will follow a different country. Local moon sightings for one, international moon sightings for another. But the whole premise of this is not good. It is based on hypocrisy. It is simply for convenience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Ameen. May Allah guide our ulama, our scholars, and us as well. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. And just as a reminder for lay people like us, for you and I, we need to follow our local imams and shuyukh. Because again, that is important for the unity of the ummah. So Allah says, made pleasing to them is the evil of their deeds. Because the kuffar used to do that. The Bani Israel have done that in the past. They have shifted around their dates of celebration and rituals according to local holidays. So Allah says, made pleasing to them is the evil of their deeds. And Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. Allah is again speaking to you and I. O you who have believed, what is the matter with you? That when you are told to go forth in the cause of Allah, you adhere heavily to the earth? Remember, this phrase was used before also in Surah Al-Araf. Allah says there is the person whom Allah would have raised by the ayat, but he clings to the earth. Akhlada ila al-ard. Here Allah says, Ithaqaltum ila al-ard. Burdened, heavy. Leaning toward earth instead of rising higher, above ourselves. Why? Because of weakness in iman, distrust in Allah. Allah says, are you satisfied with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? Would you rather have this life? Allah says, but what is the enjoyment of the world, of this worldly life, compared to the hereafter? Except very little. Very little. The Prophet ﷺ once said that the life of this world as compared to the hereafter is as if you dip your finger into the ocean and you draw it out. Whatever remains on your finger of a droplet or just some tiny amount of wetness, that is the life of this world, and the ocean is the hereafter. So Allah says, are you satisfied? Is this good enough for you? The life of this world rather than the hereafter? the enjoyment of this worldly life is very small compared to the enjoyment in the hereafter, if you do not go forth, because you have to push yourselves now. For the hereafter, you need to work hard. Dunya, the worldly life, is given to everyone. Even the worst of criminals will have a lot in this dunya. Because to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this world does not matter. It is nothing compared to the hereafter. Allah says, if you do not go forth, He will punish you with a painful punishment and will replace you with another people, and you will not harm Him at all, and Allah is over all things competent. If you do not aid Him, meaning if you do not help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has already aided him when those who disbelieved had driven him out of Makkah as one of the two, meaning the two people who left, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were in the cave, and he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to his companion, "Do not grieve. Indeed, Allah is with us." And Allah sent down His tranquility upon him and supported him with soldiers, angels you did not see, and made the word of those who disbelieved the lowest, while the word of Allah, the Quran, that is the highest, and Allah is exalted in might, the wise. Allah is Al-Aziz. He has power, He has might. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen that the word of Allah is going to be the highest. And it has been in the past and it will be again. Allah's word can never be low. It was the Muslims who have become low. It is the Muslims who have become low. Allah's word is still the truth and it is the highest. That is why we see so many people turning back to Islam, reverting back to the truth. And the world will see it too. We have to change ourselves, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give Islam victory again through us, through our children. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So Allah says, Infiru khifafan wa thiqala. Go forth, whether light or heavy, meaning whether you're young or old, riding or walking, in ease or in hardship, in all circumstances and conditions, go forth and fight in the cause of Allah. Allah says, go forth, whether light or heavy, and strive with your wealth and your lives in the cause of Allah. وَجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This is so much better for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you only knew the reward for this. Because this is the way Islam will be victorious again. It is going to be through believers. It is going to be through us. Allah is not going to send down angels to give victory to Islam unless we are the ones who truly believe and we go out in the cause of Islam and we spend money on it. We use our own attributes, our own resources, our own energies upon it. We have to do this. Allah says that is better for you if you only knew. Had it been a near, meaning easy gain, and a moderate trip, they, meaning the hypocrites, would have followed you. But distant to them was the journey. This reference is to the Battle of Tabuk, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, set out with a large army to fight the Romans. But Tabuk was very far away, and it was extremely hot, a very difficult journey. It became so difficult that the Sahaba had to end up eating leaves because they ran out of food. Now the hypocrites in Medina knew that. They knew that this was a hard journey. They never wanted to fight anyway. The hypocrites never fought any battle with the Prophet and the Sahaba. So they came with excuses. Someone said that I have business to attend to, I cannot go. Others said I have family to attend to, I cannot go. Others pretended that they did not have transportation, so they did not go. And someone actually came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that the Roman women with their pale skin and light hair are too much of an attraction for him. He will not be able to control himself, so he excused himself. Subhanallah. Allah was watching all of this and Allah knew what was in their hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam quietly kept accepting excuse after excuse and letting them go. Allah says, and they will swear by Allah, If we were able, we would have gone forth with you, destroying themselves through false oaths, and Allah knows that indeed they are liars. May Allah pardon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did you give them permission to remain behind? You should not have, until it was evident to you who were truthful and you knew who were the liars. Those who believe in Allah and the Last Day would not ask permission of you to be excused from striving, meaning fighting with their wealth and their lives. And Allah is knowing of those who fear Him. Only those would ask permission of you who do not believe in Allah and the Last Day and whose hearts have doubted, and they in their doubt are hesitating. What is this doubt? This doubt that Allah will actually help them. Again, has Allah not helped the believers in the past? Since the beginning of time, Allah has always been there and He has never failed His prophets and those who followed them. Why would He stop today? Even today, Allah is still there. Islam is still there. The Quran is still there. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are still there. We have changed. We don't want to go forth. We have doubts. We don't want to strive with our wealth, with ourselves, because we are afraid. We hesitate. Allah says only those would ask permission of you who do not believe in Allah and the Last Day, and whose hearts have doubted, and they in their doubt are hesitating. And if they had intended to go forth, they would have prepared for it alone preparation, some preparation. But Allah disliked their being sent, so He kept them back. And they were told, remain behind with those who remain behind. Allah did not want them to go forth in His path. Subhanallah. What does this mean? If I am prevented in doing something for the sake of Allah, if I am prevented from obeying Allah at some point, or if I am prevented from doing a good deed for the sake of Allah, is it because Allah did not want me to do it? Is it because He chose for me to sit behind? Why? Allah says so He kept them back, and they were told, remain behind with those who remain. Had they gone forth with you, they would not have increased you except in confusion, and they would have been active among you, seeking to cause you fitna, meaning chaos and dissension. And among you are avid listeners to them. There are believers who are influenced by them, Allah says, and Allah is knowing of the wrongdoers. When the Sahaba would not be able to wake up for tahajjud, for instance, they would seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they understood this as a manifestation of the anger of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, race each other for good. So if I lag behind in good, it means Allah has prevented me. And then I have to question why. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. Allah says, they had already desired dissension before and had upset matters for you, until the truth came and ordinance, meaning victory of Allah, appeared while they were averse. And among them is he who says, permit me to remain at home and do not put me to trial. Unquestionably into trial they have fallen, and indeed hell will encompass the disbelievers. So this person came and gave an unbelievable excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the women of the Romans were going to put him to trial. Allah says, you are already in a trial now. Allah says, if good befalls you, it distresses them. Again, these are hypocrites who outwardly have accepted Islam, but inwardly they disbelieve. Allah says, if good befalls you, the true believers, the Sahaba, it distresses them, because they want religion on their own terms. They feel defensive at the iman of the Sahaba, at the sacrifices of the Sahaba. So Allah says, if good befalls you, it distresses them. But if disaster strikes you, they say, we took our matter in our hand before, meaning we made the best decision, and turn away while they are rejoicing. Say, never will we be struck except by what Allah has decreed for us. He is our protector, and upon Allah let the believers rely. Be confident and at peace. Nothing will harm us except what Allah permits. Say, do you await for us except one of the two best things? What are the two best things? Victory. And we can understand that. But the other thing is martyrdom, shahada. That is also one of the best things. But hypocrites do not perceive it. So in either case, the believers have won. Whether it's a victory on the ground or defeat on the ground but martyrdom, in either case, the believers always win. So Allah says, Say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to them, Do you await for us, except one of the two best things, meaning martyrdom or victory, while we await for you that Allah will afflict you with punishment from Himself or at our hands? So wait. Indeed, we along with you are waiting. Say, spend willingly or unwillingly, because the hypocrites would always spend unwillingly or the smallest amount or not at all. Allah says, spend willingly or unwillingly, never will it be accepted from you. Indeed, you have been a defiantly disobedient people. Kuntum qawman fasiqeen. Fisq is to disobey knowingly. Allah says, And what prevents their expenditures from being accepted from them, but that they have disbelieved in Allah and in His Messenger, and that they come not to prayer except while they are lazy, and that they do not spend except while they are unwilling. The Salah of a Hypocrite. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, No Salah is more burdensome to the hypocrites than the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer, and if they knew their merits, they would come to them crawling. Subhanallah. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Ala bin Abdul Rahman said, We came upon Anas bin Malik after the Dhuhr prayer. He stood up for saying the Asr prayer. When he became free from praying, we mentioned to him about observing prayer in its early period, or he himself mentioned it. He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, This is how hypocrites pray. This is how hypocrites pray. This is how hypocrites pray. He sits watching the sun, and when it becomes yellow and is between the horns of the devil, or is on the horns of the devil, he rises and prays 4 rakah quickly, remembering Allah only seldom during them. Subhanallah. From Abu Dawud, Sahih al-Albani. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, Lo, the hypocrites seek to deceive Allah, but it is Allah who beguiles them. When they stand up to worship, they perform it lazily, and to be seen of men, and are mindful of Allah but little. Kusala. It means to be lazy, sluggish, negligent, as if you have to get up for something and you really do not want to, and you try to delay it as much as possible. May Allah forgive us. May Allah make us active in Salah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to establish Salah. Ameen. May Allah place the coolness of our eyes and our hearts in Salah. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.